because you might think you're being wise, but you might be living the wisdom of this world. You might think you're naive, and actually you're more in relation to God, but because you don't see yourself in a big, maybe outward ministry, you might think that you're not accomplishing anything, and yet God might see you as one of the spiritual powerhouses. So you would have to look at some more detailed information in order to answer that question. So as we look at the how of how did you get here, that's the question that Proverbs 4:23 is going to answer. Proverbs 4:23, if you look at it, and I'm going to say it out of the NASB. Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over, in the NASB, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. How does that question, how did you get here, get answered by that particular verse? To watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. The reality is that scripture is telling us something of grave importance. It is telling us that there is a work that we must do to guard something, and we are to do it in a particular way. So let's break that down. What does it mean to watch over? And in the Hebrew, to watch over means to guard. And many of your verses say that, to guard. Guard your heart, right? It's to keep. To keep, to guard, to observe, to besiege. To guard from danger, to guard with fidelity, to persevere over. And this word is in the imperative, meaning it is a command. For a Christian, it is not an option. And we will find that it is, whether we do this or not, will tell us the answer to why we are where we are spiritually. And it tells us to do it with what? With all diligence. And this is a pretty interesting word in the Hebrew, because it's saying with all diligence. You're thinking, I could imagine when I was thinking I was going to find is like, tenaciously or voraciously or some words like that. But no, you know what it means? To place in prison. To place it in a guardhouse. To put it in confinement. I mean, gosh, I was thinking about the Joker from the Batman. I'm going, why so serious? I mean, God is telling us something that we must listen to and we must take seriously. And why so serious? Well, let's look at what it means when the scripture tells us what the heart is, so we would understand truly what God is telling us, that we are to guard with fidelity and to place it in prison. The heart is what it says. The heart, though we are not talking about an organ of the body, though the heart we know means that quite frequently in the scripture. You're kind of way behind me. Move it. Move it again. Keep going. There we go. Though the heart is not an organ. Well, not that yet. You're good. The heart, though we're not talking about the organ, and most of us, we think about the heart, we think emotions, right? But the reality, ladies, is like you hear, oh, follow your heart. Well, let me explain something. If we follow our heart without God, we are following it to hell. So we don't tell people, follow your heart, because unless your heart is lined up with God's word, our heart is leading us into destruction. So listen to the meaning of heart. That way you can do your fill-ins here. So we're not referring to the emotions, but we are referring to the emotions in some capacity. But we're also referring to our intellect, such as things like discernment and will. And so we're looking at those areas of our lives. And we're also looking at the fact that the heart is essentially the entirety of who you and I are. That is the heart. What we understand about the heart is that It is everything that we are physically, because it is also the organ. It is everything we are physically, emotionally, and psychologically. In the Hebrew, the heart was conceived as the governing center for all that we are. So in Proverbs 4:23, the heart means more than our mental or emotional capacity. It also encompasses, ladies, our values. It is the heart which makes a renewed woman a renewed woman. And it is what governs all of our actions. If you would turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 27:19. Excuse me. Proverbs 27:19 kind of sums up the seriousness of our need to watch over, keep, guard, protect, persevere over, put in prison, confine our hearts. It gives us what that looks like. And it says, as in water, face reflects face. And that's in the NASB. So the heart of a man reflects the man. Ouch. So the heart of a man reflects the man. I mean, are you getting that? Are you understanding that? We are not separating the emotions, the will, discernment. It's all part of the package. The heart of a man reflects the man. So ladies, you and I, none of us are exempt. You and I are where we are, or a reflection of the work that we have done in watching over our hearts, or an abdication. Our lives show an abdication of following that command. Let me give you, so you can understand this paraphrase, I'm going to give you a paraphrase of Proverbs 4:23 and Proverbs 27:19. It says, put your heart in prison and be a tireless, voracious watchman over it. Scrutinize all visitors, for they will inevitably leave their imprint on the heart. See, visitors come through the gate of the eye and the ears, and their signature shows up in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. As the heart's guard, you and I will ultimately be controlled by whatever we let in its cell. So who you are and who I am will be a direct reflection of how tenaciously we have worked or how incredulous we were to the task. So where does all this begin? How do we get there? I know we're all going, you know, Lord, I'm a work in progress, but I want to continue to be more of a work in progress. So how do we get to the place where we are now conscious of our everyday living to know whether or not we are watching over our hearts? How do we do that? Well, ladies, if you turn in your Bibles, and you should, might be on the page, Proverbs 28:14, you might already be there. We're going to see that watching over our hearts begins with our relationship to fearing the Lord. Because none of this can be done without God. This minus God is no work at all. So we have to see that the work that we are doing here has to start with fearing the Lord. Proverbs 28:14 says, blessed is the one who fears the Lord always, but whoever hardens his heart will fall into calamity. Now, one thing, that a sidebar kind of conversation we're going to have here is the writings of the literary forms of Proverbs. In some of Proverbs, and actually more than not, Proverbs are written in a literary form we call parallelisms. And there are a few different types of parallelisms. But usually the reason that they're written like this in parallels is because they're easy for memorizing. It stresses the point usually of the first line before the comma. And so it helps you to understand the dire need to obey the command usually, or to understand the instruction of the first line. So where they can be written in repeated truths, sometimes the line repeats the first truth. Sometimes the second line compares the truth. And here we see the second line is an antithetical parallelism, or it contrasts the first line. So parallelisms are quite frequent in the Proverbs. So this one is what we call an antithetical parallelism, or a contrast in parallel. And that's something for you. If we're going to go through Proverbs, it's nice to kind of get some understanding on the writing of it and some literary forms and different things like that. But what is it telling us? It's telling us the person who fears the Lord is not the person who hardens his heart. So the person who's hardening his heart is a person who is what? Not give it to me. Come on. It's not. That's what I'm talking about. Is not fearing the Lord. So what does it mean to fear the Lord? We talked about this a little bit last month, but let's break it down a little bit more to the point where we can have a little bit more of an understanding of what it looks like. So your mind can kind of paint a picture when you think of fearing the Lord. Most of the time we ask Christians, what does it mean to fear the Lord? They say, oh, to respect him. Well, what does that mean? I respect a lot of stuff, but I don't get what that means. So sometimes we need a deeper understanding so that we really can grasp a picture of what we mean when we're talking about something, so we're not just repeating something we hear, we understand what we're saying. So the reality is to fear the Lord, this is what it means. It means to have the right relationship with the fear source. It is not a phobia. We're not talking about a phobic type of fear. Is that kind of like a redundant statement? But we're not talking about a phobia. What we're talking about is when you understand the source of what it is you fear and the power that it has to either bless you or bring calamity, then you have the right relationship with it. Let's take, for example, fire. Fire. If you're out camping, you can start a fire, right? Start a fire. It will be used to help heat the area you're sitting around. It can be used to bless you in that way. It can be used to bless you in that it cooks your food. Correct? Not by itself. You have to actually put food on it and put a pot over it. But it can be used to cook. It can also be used for fellowship. You get around the campfire and you sing your little songs, right? I don't know if y'all sing songs that make you do that at campfires. Or tell your little ghost stories. But the reality is if you go to bed with no one watching that fire, what can happen? Calamity can happen because one thing about the element of fire, it does not change its nature for you. It does not cater to your emotions. It does not change because you ask it to. In its element, it must be fire. Do you understand? So because it is fire, you have to change for it. It doesn't change for you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So let's take God. And analogies always fall short. But let's take God. God in his nature is beautiful and love. But to deal with his love without dealing with his holiness means you don't have a right relationship with God. To deal with his grace without dealing with his awesomeness means you don't have a right relationship with God. To deal with his mercy without remembering his discipline says to you that you and I don't have a right relationship with God. God cannot change his nature for you and me. We must change our nature to meet God where he is. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God does not change his nature for us. Though he is very loving, he does not get emotionally manipulated by mankind. That part of his nature is what we call his impassibility. Not impossibility. His impassibility. So if we have a right relationship, he deals with us according to his word. Disobedience or not disobedient. That's how God deals with us. If you want to know how God's going to deal with you according to a situation, know what his word says about that situation. That is showing the right relationship with God. And when you've done that, then you can exchange your feelings, your deeds, your emotions, and your actions, and all of your behavior for God's. Because you, my dear sister, and I then have a fear of the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? I need to hear an amen. Amen. Come on, don't be scared of me. I'm from the other side of town. We used to hear amens. That's what I'm talking about. So that's a right relationship with God. So when we see that we have that place with him, then we understand. And understand this, that even wisdom that we talked about last month begins with what? The fear of the Lord. Everything that we're going to talk about in the next 8 months from last month, starts with the fear of the Lord. If you and I do not have the right relationship with God, ladies, everything that we're teaching you, that you're living, is of no avail. You have got to have the right relationship with God. You and I cannot deal with God like we want to deal with God. You and I must deal with God the way God requires us to deal with him. We must give counsel according to the way God wants us to give counsel. We must direct according to the way God wants us to direct. We must love the way God tells us to love. We must consider people according to the way God considers people. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about that truth, because that's the truth that when we have that, girls, our lives will fly. We will fly in a way that we've never seen. Because we will now be dealing with God in the fear of the Lord. So let's continue. What else? How do you know that you're living this way? How do you know you're living this way? Well, let me give you some examples. First of all, if you're living that way, you will find that you are not letting your heart forget his teachings. And you are keeping his commandments. That's how you know you're watching over your heart. You are fearing the Lord, and in fearing the Lord, you automatically don't forget his teachings. You are the scripture that many of us, go ahead and start that list, Jerry. You are, according to what we all know, is you are trusting in the Lord. Many of you know this verse. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding. And in all of your ways, acknowledging him, and he makes your path straight. That scripture is not talking about a simple nod of recognition. A simple nod of recognition is what the devil does. The devil knows there's a God, and he fears him, and he trembles. But guess what? It don't change who he is. That's not a simple nod of recognition. When we trust the Lord with all our heart and lean not onto our own understanding, what we are then doing, ladies, is we're saying, I am yours. What you give me is yours, so you can handle me in whatever you give me. I can handle whatever you give me because you gave it to me. Whatever situation is in my life, you let it come. So I trust you because I fear you, and I will find out what your word says about it. So then you will look and you will understand whether your beliefs line up with God, whether your doctrines line up with God, whether your theology lines up with God, whether your rationalizations line up with God, whether your reasonings line up with God, whether your ideologies line up with God, whether your ideas line up with God. It will be found in his word. Nothing since you've come to Christ is your or my own. My thoughts are not my own. If they don't line up with God, they gotta go. They gotta go. If a situation seems like we want to show compassion, but it's a situation that can't show compassion because we have to deal with it with maybe discipline or exhortation, then we must put our thoughts away and we must deal with it the way God says. That's how we know we're watching over our hearts, ladies. We are not letting his word escape our sight. We're keeping them in our hearts. God says in Psalms 119, 105, that his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to my path. And it's interesting because when you look up that scripture, that light, that lamp is a spot lamp. It is not a bright light like this. So it is completely dark. Completely dark. Your eyes can't even adjust. Dark. And he's saying, I'm giving you one step at a time. Don't let my words leave you. You don't need to know what is down there. Follow the light that's right here. Don't need to know how you're going to get me out of that. I need to know where you are right here. I don't need to know how you're going to work tomorrow, because I need you right here. You don't need to know how I'm going to deal with your children, because I need you right here. You don't need to know how I'm going to save your husband. I need you right here. You don't need to know whether or not you can get out of this job just because your boss is getting on your nerve. I need you to look right here. I need you to look right here. This is where I need you to look. And let me deal with each step. outshine my light as I need you to walk. That means you're not forgetting. You're not going through the day praying in the morning, and the rest of the day you're living and you forgot what you prayed. That's living in the fear of the Lord. That's watching over your heart. I got to give y'all some attention over here. That's what it's about. That's what the Christian life. And guess what? When you're doing it like that, you're not having to think about it. Because when you're lined up with God, he's helping you to think about it. You have to make yourself or try to think about it. When you're living consumed by his word, you're not having to think about it. The next one, it says you're loving purity of heart. To love purity of heart, there's a few scriptures I want you to jot down because I'm not going to go through them because of time. But I need you to jot down this, and then you can write that what you see, but I'm going to give you what you don't see. Psalms 39:1, Job 31:1, Psalm 141, verse 3. Those all talked about how David or how the writer or Job guarded against something. So I want you to kind of add that to your homework and look those up, okay? But the one I want to get to is the one in Genesis 39, 8 and 9. So 2 Timothy 2:22 tells us to flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Now, mind you, that scripture says flee youthful lusts and passions. The reality is it's not alone to youth. It is passions that we all strive against, but youth are so much easily falling into it. So he said, flee youthful lust, because it's usually stuff you see among the young. But we find today that even the older are falling into youthful lust. So, but the story in Genesis 39, 8 and 9 is Joseph, many of you know it, probably all of you. Joseph is dealing with Potiphar's sweet tenderloin wife. And she is coming on to him constantly for quite a while. She is really passionately attracted to this young man. And he has such integrity. He is watching over his heart with such integrity that you know the end of the story, but let's look at the middle of it. That he says to her, finally, but he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one great in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? Those should be in our memory. Those words should be in our memory. How can I do such a great wickedness and sin against my God? That is anything that disobeys God. So he runs and flees, and we know what happened after that. But that's how you guard your heart. When something is sin, it is not something we even take pleasure in. We flee it, like 2 Timothy says. So when we are guarding our heart, we are loving purity of heart. And that is in our ethics, that is in our morality, that is in our living, that is in our thinking, that is in being that prison guard of what we're letting in through our eye gate and through our ear gate, the company we're keeping and the fellow, especially if it's not so much who you social. Sometimes we can just, you know, we go out with the people from work, you know, celebrate a birthday. I'm not talking about that, but sometimes we have more unsaved friends that are leading us into ways that we find ourselves regretting. They're not really leading us. They're making it open, and we're following it. So we're actually doing more of the work. They're just putting the possibility out there. But the reality is this, ladies. We have got to apply our hearts to God's instructions. We have got to apply our hearts to God's instructions. We have got to apply our ears to wisdom and to knowledge. We've got to hear. When we're in church, we've got to make ourselves hear. And we need to be wise. We need to direct our hearts. So we are in control. We are its prison guard. We are its guard. We control where it's directed. We control by what we sit down and watch and by what we do and the conversations we have, the conversations we have, the things we laugh at. We control. We're the guard. We're the guard. We're not the victim of our heart. The heart is the victim of us. We make right or wrong decisions, and we mold and shape and watch over our hearts. We are responsible for that. You can't say my heart made me do it. You know, I just didn't. No, you are fixing what your heart is going to look like, where you are. We're giving him our heart and we're observing his words. So ladies, in the last minute, let me just concretize the truths that we've pointed out this evening. Okay? So watching over our hearts does not happen by accident. Does not happen by accident. It is an active participation on our part. Not choosing to watch over your heart, me not choosing to watch over my heart in any moment, means I'm allowing it to be hardened. We are allowing it to be hardened. Ladies, there is no neutrality. So all of us really can answer. When we take some time to analyze it, we really can answer, how did we get here? You know, and I know how I got here. Whatever here is for you, you know. Watching over your heart means that you are fearing the Lord. And then you are exchanging your feelings, attitudes, and will for his. That just sums up the heart. We respond in the fear of the Lord by lining our beliefs, our ideologies, our reactions, our viewpoints to what he points out in his word. And let me just say this. When we watch over our heart, it does lead to a less problematic life. But let me explain that. A less problematic life of our own making. Of our own making. Many of us are in chaos that we've made for ourselves because we've not lined our beliefs, ideologies, ideas, viewpoints, thoughts up with God's. And we thought something was okay before we knew what God said about it. Or maybe we were incredulous about what God said about it. Or we didn't think we needed God on this thing because I separate this part of my life from my religion. I don't know why. But the reality is the other of us who are in maybe lives that have more tumultuous situations, if we are fearing God and walking according to him, it's because he is trying us like fire. And that's a beautiful place to be, though very difficult, though very, very difficult. But if we know God is doing the refining fire and we are not made it for ourselves because we've been disobedient, then it is a safe place to be. So let me ask you this question, and then I'll close and you girls can discuss. What will you do about where you are? Wherever that is, what will you do about it? Are you satisfied with it? None of us should be, because none of us have arrived. But there's areas where we all can say, I am not doing what I need to be doing to watch over my heart. Take that to the Lord and ask yourself, where do you want to be? All right? Well, God bless you and have a great discussion time.